another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Small Business Consulting to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and nationally recognized accounting software expert Doug Slater. These highly sought-after thought leaders discuss the tricks and techniques used by the profession's top-performing small business accounting consultants. Learn what's hot and what's not as they cover QuickBooks, Peachtree, Microsoft Accounting, and the myriad of add-ons that make small businesses work better and help them be more profitable. Small Business Consulting to Go is sponsored by Bill Quick.
Good morning. This is Greg LaFollette. We're recording episode 2 of Small Business Consulting to Go. And I guess I said good morning because for me it is morning, and for my guest, Doug Slater, it's also morning, and actually early morning for you. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Greg.
I appreciate your getting up. I scheduled this for the leisurely hour of 10 a.m. for me, which is just fine because I'm calling from Central Time. And Doug, you know, out in the Bay Area, that would be 8 a.m. That's pretty much right in the middle of your sleep time, isn't it?
Normally no problem, but we just came back from our big conference last week in Las Vegas, as you know, and you were there with us. Thank you.
Right.
But we're planning on kind of kicking back this week, but you keep me going, Greg. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate your rolling out of the rack early on that the first day back, and I know this is my first day back in the office in nearly 3 weeks. I was here on the 8th of October. And I've been gone ever since that, so that's a long time out. But I had a great time. I did a general session and some breakout sessions there at your conference. Looked quite successful to me, just in terms of metrics and things. Doug, how did the Slater conference go for you this year?
Well, it was fantastic. We had just a very enthusiastic group, something like 750 people in the audience.
Wow.
46 different vendors showing us their products and services in the trade show area.
Someone, from every single state, too, right?
Oh, that's true. We actually had every single state in the country represented there.
I thought at first when I heard that, I thought for sure that I was the one who would be covering South Dakota, but no, after my presentation, general session presentation the second day, a couple of people came up and I recognized them as fellow South Dakotans, and there were a couple of other people there, so you had the whole country covered, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was nice.
Grown that from literally from a couple hundred 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, we've been growing it each year, and it's just great to see people are really interested in these topics of consulting for small businesses in the accounting space. So,
yep, lots of people very, very interested and very focused on how you help small businesses, and yeah, that was kind of an interesting experiment, as I, at least for me, to watch all these people in kind of cross disciplines. I mean, it kind of started out years ago as kind of a QuickBooks coven, and now you include all sorts of things. I mean, I saw Peachtree classes and Microsoft Office accounting classes and lots of just, you know, general technology things and how to build a practice. You know, business development things and a lot of very deep things, not only within QuickBooks, but within a lot of these specialty, like add-on kinds of things.
Well, yeah, add-ons that add into QuickBooks or the other products, but also things like, you know, how to build a network or properly build a network inside of the firm. Really what we're trying to do is attract more of the IT topics and people, because so much of our success as the small business accounting consultant is to get the IT part of the client figured out and implemented correctly with best practices. So there was a lot in there a lot of content for that as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lot of the people that I talk to, they are the IT department, and they're just the IT department on weekends and at night. You know, during the regular day, they're the accounting and client support department.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
And
they're under skilled sometimes, so they
exactly.
just fumble through it. But
yeah,
anyway, they get
exactly.
it done.
But interesting stuff. Now, we did while we were there in Las Vegas, we did another podcast, and we talked specifically about your awesome add-on awards. Give me the elevator speech on that, and not the elevator that goes all the way up to the 50th floor to the Voodoo Lounge.
Sure.
but the short elevator.
Greg's talking about the Voodoo Lounge, which is at the top of the Rio Hotel where we were, which is a very wonderful restaurant overlooking the whole city. But anyway, to your question, the awesome QuickBooks add-ons is an award I give every year, which basically recognizes what we like to say is the cream of the crop of those products in the marketplace who have plugged in their product to QuickBooks, adding value in what we call vertical markets, so areas where QuickBooks doesn't have the right feature set or any feature set. These companies come in and develop those specific features and use QuickBooks as the general ledger that they connect into.
Now, one of them, one of those, and you gave what, like a dozen? Is that about right?
There were 13 awards.
13, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to suggest that we talk about these one a month, then we could be done by next year, but we weren't going to have time to do that, so we're going to have to double up and do a couple of them. And I did notice that one of the awards that you gave was to our sponsor. And before I go any farther, I want to make sure that we thank BQE, and BQE is the company, the parent company of BillQuick Software. Again, an awesome add-on award. I watched their booth over there, and they had people there all day long, every single day, over there learning about how an add-on product, specializing, it's a time and billing practice management product that adds on not only to QuickBooks, but also Peachtree and Office Accounting. And for a lot of people, you know, like an accounting firm or engineers or architects or some of the different specialties that they have, the underlying general ledger type stuff, the dollars are in QuickBooks. But 95% of what people see and work with all day long is that BillQuick product.
That's right. You know, all the people who bill their time out in professional offices, let's say law firms or whatever, they're going to be sitting in front of BillQuick all day long. They may not be able to they might not even be allowed to have access to the accounting system, but they need to essentially input their data to it through time records and expense records and those sorts of things, and that's why it'll sit in front of them all day long.
It's interesting stuff, and we do want to thank Shafat and Will and the guys over at BQE for sponsoring Small Business Consulting to Go. We appreciate their help and their sponsorship. And if you're in that kind of a market, I'd certainly encourage you to give them a look. Heck, I'd encourage you to give them a look whether they were a sponsor or not, because frankly, it's pretty good stuff, and I like it. I've looked at it and liked it for way before they became a sponsor. So
that's right.
I guess we're actually, although we do accept sponsorships, we're not for sale. Isn't that the way it goes, Doug?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Well, we will commit to everybody who's listening, and thanks to everybody who's listening. The numbers on our first podcast are still going up, and we're real, real happy with that. So tell your friends and keep listening, and put us on your iTunes subscription list, and we sure appreciate your being there. Feel free to give us a call and ask questions. Dial in on TalkShoe. You know, go to talkshoe.com, get a quick little account, dial in, join us live, ask some questions. We'd love to have you. We had a bunch of people with us first time around, and not so many this morning. But then again, it's a little early this morning, and Monday morning probably isn't the best time to bring people in.
Yeah.
But we do want your participation. So it'd be great if you could join us. So Doug, last time we promised everyone that we were going to talk about what's new in QuickBooks 08. And before I toss that to you, I want to remind everybody that our producer, Vance, will go through our podcast as we finish up and reduce all of the conversation to text. And those parts, you know, where we talk about them, it's specific. We don't transcribe every word. But when Doug makes a mention of a product or a website, something like that that you might need to jot down, that's on our show notes. Simply go to the website, cpata.com, cpatechadvisor.com, or you can go to Doug's website. That's sleater.com, right, Doug?
That's right.
And you can link to it there and get to the show notes, so you don't have to stop and grab a pencil to write to say, oh, what was that website or what was the name of that product? It's all there for you, and that makes it pretty simple. So now that we got that out of the way, Doug, there were a lot of people there. Of course, Intuit was there, and boy, they had a lot of purple shirts there at your conference, talking to people about a bunch of different products, primarily QuickBooks 08, because that's kind of the mothership there in Mountain View, right?
Right, and this is the time of year that they roll out their new version, so
sure.
It's a lot to talk about at this point. So
they told me that this was the most wonderful thing since sliced bread, and if I'd use this, it would lower my cholesterol and make my hair grow back and all sorts of different things. Just how good is this? What difference does it make? What's going on with this new thing?
Well, it wasn't intended to lower cholesterol, of course. And Greg, with your hair, I don't know if we're going to get there. But anyway, yeah, the QuickBooks 08, does have several new things. I want to get through at least the basic list of what I want everybody to go off and look at. It is I would call it a relatively minor update to the software this year.
Okay.
And when I say minor, I mean, if you're familiar with the earlier versions, especially 2007, the most recent one before this version, you're not going to see a lot of difference. You'll see things like it launches a little faster when you launch it from the operating system.
Now, see, I thought that was because I bought a new laptop with dual core processor, 4 gig of RAM, did make it faster.
It could be your laptop too, but yeah, they made it a little faster, especially on launch and a couple other selected areas. Some of the people won't really notice a huge difference change, but actually, I'd like people to kind of send me an email about their experiences there, because I'd like to kind of take a poll essentially on where people see dramatic improvements or differences. But I see a little bit of, especially on launch speed, that's where you can really see it. So I think it went from something like 35 seconds to launch to maybe 8 to 12 or something.
Okay.
And, of course, that depends on your system, so it's hard to say exactly.
Now, Intuit's got one product called QuickBooks 2008, and they've got about a dozen different SKUs, different things. We're talking specifically always for our practicing accountants. We're talking about the accountant's edition, right?
Well, sort of. Let me
just
fill in the blanks there.
Simple question requires a very complicated answer.
Unfortunately, yes. There is a line of products that Intuit releases. There's QuickBooks Simple Start, and then there's QuickBooks Pro, and then there's QuickBooks Premier, and QuickBooks Enterprise. The Premier and Enterprise editions split out into about six or so flavors is kind of the way we talk about them. And so there's a contractor's edition, there's a professional services edition, there's a nonprofit edition, and there's an accountant edition. Now, what they all have in common is the same core features.
Okay.
It's just that they have renamed or reset some defaults in the software for each of those vertical markets to be more relevant to those people. And the accountant edition we talk about mostly, you know, you and I do, because the accountant edition is the product that is, think of it as a superset of all of the others. From the accountant edition, I can actually toggle back and forth between all the other editions. So if my client, for example, had the contractor edition and they saw screens that looked a certain way, I could toggle over from my accountant edition and see what they see. Beyond that, it's really the same software in all of the editions, just with different settings and such.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, there's a few specific reports that are only in one edition or the other.
Sure.
But pretty much it's true that they're all the same.
Okay.
Now, one last thing on this point is the Enterprise edition is really a different product.
Oh, right. That's a whole different animal, right?
Yeah.
It's actually a different database, correct?
Correct. And so you can't go back and forth between Enterprise and the Premier editions. But I'll say every accountant should have both on their, you know, on their computer. You should really have installed both the Premier Accountant Edition and Enterprise Accountant Edition.
Right.
If you join into its Pro Advisor program, you'll get both those products for free with your membership.
Yeah.
And you need them both because you might have clients that have either of them, and you need to be able to deal with their
right.
with their files.
Or clients that are, even if you don't have any clients on Enterprise, you still need to know when it might be the appropriate thing to start suggesting. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, we used to live back in an area where life was really, really difficult trying to figure out what data lived where, and Intuit's been trying to solve this data ownership problem for a long time in terms of who makes entries where. And we came up the latest solution, I'm using air quotes around solution, the latest solution is a thing they call the dividing date.
Yeah.
That work? Does that beat the Sleater test?
Well, it's getting really close. Let me kind of describe what you're talking about there. The scenario is the client is out there working all day long, and the accountant's back at their office and trying to help the client in whatever way that means, review the data, do some adjusting entries, do depreciation, do taxes, whatever it is. So Intuit has created this thing called the accountant's copy. And the accountant's copy is a copy of the file that the client sends to the accountant. And for that purpose, so the client, the accountant can do reviewing or taxes or whatever. The problem happens right at that moment. The question becomes, who owns, if you will, the file right now? If I put data in, I'm the client. If I put data in, I already sent the file to the accountant. So what's going to happen if I put data in? My accountant has their version of the file, and they're going to put data in as well. Now we have two separate copies of the data. That sounds like a problem to me, and it is. And the way they resolve the problem is before the client sends this accountant's copy to the accountant, they are asked for what's called a dividing date. That's what you talked about.
Right.
So there's a magic date. Let's say we're in February, and we want our taxes to be prepared. So we can set a dividing date of, let's say, 12/31 of the last year, or maybe even more recent than that, maybe somewhere into January. Anyway, some date that says before that date, the accountant can do anything to adjust and modify those transactions as needed before going to the tax return. But after that date, the client can make any continuing entries or whatever so that they don't have to wait for the accountant to bring back the data for them to continue adding data. Anyway, so this dividing data has been a really nice feature. They actually added it last year in 2007.
Right. But so I'd seen it before, but then I saw it on the list for this year. So what did they do? Fix it? I'm sure they improved it, right?
Yeah, improved in the sense of just tightening up some of the rules.
Okay.
There's some detail there, but let me just say you can set the date more recent to where you are in the middle of the next fiscal year.
Gotcha.
You can reconcile the bank as the client or as the accountant, and those reconciliations go back and forth now.
Right. Now they actually did something with those reconciliations, so you can move those kind of seamlessly, right?
Well, move, yeah. Basically, the issue is the accountant might need to reconcile the bank for last year because the client never did.
Right.
And it used to not be possible for the accountant to do reconciliations and then have that reconcile status of transactions go back into the client's file. That's what they fixed.
Okay. So when we're talking about moving stuff back and forth, they also did something with the online data transfer. I mean, the number of ways that I see accounting firms exchanging data with clients is more than the stars in the sky. I mean, it's amazing the number of things I see. Number one way, probably the worst way, but the biggest way I see is email.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good plan, at least in my opinion. And Intuit's doing lots of things to make it kind of build it in so it's a little easier, and they did something this year, right?
Right. So they added a little feature, Intuit did, that says to the client side, when they're creating this accountant's copy, they can just go ahead and click send to accountant, which goes up to an Intuit server, uses an Intuit server with a secure connection, sends the client data to the accountant in a secure transfer, so no email is involved,
sure.
Much more secure, and it's free, which is really cool because that does take bandwidth on a server somewhere, and you'd think they'd charge for that.
Right. It's interesting that it's free from Intuit.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's all there, and you know, so it's a wonderful. Probably that's the most important improvement to this feature this year.
Okay, and we did. I know. There were also something I saw on the list. They did something with Visa and credit cards and this some best practices and this PCI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of new acronyms here.
Yes.
What the heck is PCI data security?
And just to preserve our time here, I'll just say there are these standards, these industry standards that were developed for the payment credit card industry. They were defined by, you know, this industry group.
Right.
And then Visa took off on that and created this payment application best practices. And they're really just advice, if you will, to the merchants that says you have to do things in a certain way to preserve and protect the confidentiality of your client information, including credit cards.
Okay.
So Intuit has adopted those best practices, and now I can set passwords, and the passwords expire after a certain.
So it's kind of built in smarts, right?
Yeah, it's basically cleaned it up so that it's less. It's more secure.
Okay. That's good. So what else is in this thing? Anything else that?
Well, for many years. Yeah, let me just for many years, people have been accountants have wanted to get to their clients' data remotely because they can't be there. So Intuit has had this thing called WebEx Remote Access,
right?
Built into the Accountant Edition,
uh-huh.
And they upgraded it. It was kind of getting old, meaning it wasn't keeping up with some of the other online technologies.
Sure.
It was slow. So they did a huge overhaul of the way that works, and they overhauled somewhat the pricing model. It's still free for the first 12 months if you buy the Accountant Edition. And this allows me, if I've got the Accountant Edition, I can remotely access a client's QuickBooks file. The client's sitting there in their office. All they need is an internet connection. I can log in and see their file and interact with it with them on the screen.
Now, this is different from a remote desktop, because you're not, as I understand this, you're not taking the entire machine. You're just taking access of their QuickBooks file and sharing screens. Or do you actually get the whole machine just like you would in a general remote access?
Actually, both. First, the free one, yes, it's I can only see their QuickBooks data file.
Okay.
Not their desktop. But if I pay a little extra, I can get to the full remote desktop.
Well, in some cases, clients might not want you to see the desktop.
Which is, I think, is exactly why they did it this way.
Right. And some clients or some accountants might say, you know, I don't want the responsibility. I mean, what if I go to a client's machine and I accidentally, you know, do something like, you know, format space C:\, which would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So this kind of gives you the choices, right?
Yeah, that's really it.
Okay. And it's all kind of built in, and you can spend a little bit more money if you want a little bit more, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, Intuit is also playing nicely with their arch enemy to the north, up in Redmond. They've got some Outlook integration. So while they compete head-to-head really hard with the Microsoft Office accounting product, and they compete, you know, with QuickBooks Enterprise and Dynamics and big competitors there, down on the Outlook side, they're cooperating. So they have this co-opetition thing going, right?
Yeah, I think it's all about the user. And Intuit recognizes that the client who uses QuickBooks, they use Word, they use Excel, they use Outlook. So for many years, it's been there's been a lot of integration with, for example, I can write a letter to everybody who a collection letter, they call it, to everybody who has an outstanding balance in AR. That's been there forever, so I haven't really changed that. Or I can export reports to Excel for further analysis.
Right.
But this year, what they added is it's been possible to send email invoices for a long time, but this year they said instead of send email invoices from an Intuit server, they said why don't we just create an attachment of an invoice to an email that is going to be sent out of Outlook. Now the reason that's so important is because people want to be able to look in their sent items
to
track exactly when they sent that and maybe set things like what is the flag that says I got
to
it?
Follow up and things like
read,
that. Read,
yeah, read,
you
receive.
Bet.
So, yeah.
So it's interesting to me as Microsoft advertises and markets their Office accounting product. You know, they have the free one and the professional one, and one of their lead in strength is the incredible integration with the rest of Microsoft Office. And I guess you can't be more integrated than just be another part of it, and that's really what they are.
Yeah.
So as they've done that and gone out and talked about it, Intuit moves closer and closer to doing, now it's certainly not as integrated as the Microsoft Office accounting product, but this is a big improvement.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just go back to it's what the customers want them to do.
Sure.
And you're right about the total integration you see from Microsoft Office accounting. Boy, do they just integrate with the Office suite in all sorts of ways, and it's very tight. So you're right. This is different, but it's moving closer on the Intuit side.
Sure. So you mentioned some other data imports and Excel and some stuff like that. They changed something with this, what they call list importing. What's that?
Yeah, lists are things like your customer list, your vendor list, your item list.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And so, for a long time it's been possible to import lists, but it was somewhat complicated. Let me just say it that way. Those who've tried it before found that to be true. Well, this year they added this nice Excel template that basically has columns, and it says put your first name here, your last name here, address, city, state, zip. And so it's really easy to put the data that you want to have into the right columns in this spreadsheet. Once you're done with that, you save the data in Excel, and then there's a little wizard to import that file, if you will, into your lists inside the QuickBooks database.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Made it a lot easier.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So what else? What else did they do? Anything else worth mentioning in this?
Well, yeah, just really a couple other things I want to mention is a lot of people, especially, let's say, in the professional services industry, is time-based or time and expenses-based invoicing. So people are tracking their hours, they're tracking their expenses on the road or whatever, or client expenses, and they want to do invoicing for based on that time and expense.
Uh-huh.
So there's a sort of a new setting that you can just turn on, and once you turn the setting on, then right on your home page in the QuickBooks interface, instead of creating invoices just being one button, now it's a little drop down, and I can say create a real invoice just like before, or create invoice for time and expenses. When you do that invoice for time and expenses, it shows you everybody, meaning all your customers in your customer list, to whom you have recorded either time or expenses. And it allows you to just pick them off, and it shows columns, if you will, for the amount of time and how much dollars that would represent on the invoice, and any expenses. You can just say, you know, essentially select and say invoice it, and it brings the invoice all filled out for you. A real nice shortcut for people that do that type of invoicing all the time.
You know, there's so many things that all of the vendors are adding to their products as we move forward that make handling of transactions that start digitally, I mean, they're electronic to start with, and they remain digital through the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a credit card transaction, for example,
is
digital through the entire process. There's nobody keying something in or stuff like that. It's just the same thing. And,
right.
You know, that's getting to be pretty interesting in the way that that works. And
mm-hmm.
and it'll be fun to look ahead a few years, and we'll be going, you know, there's no key punch to this. There's no more data entry anywhere. It's just data management.
Well, that's actually a very important, I think, future that I see as well. We had a presentation at our conference last week given by Dave Kvedaris of BankServe. I think you know him pretty well.
Yes, I do. Yeah, very, very bright guy.
Yeah, and he comes out of the banking industry, and we asked him to do a presentation on the future of e-money. You know,
right,
is going on with all the moving of money around on the Internet, and the fact that it's all digital, and it was just a fascinating presentation.
Yeah, you know, until I actually sat in on that conversation, and Dave is going to do a reprise of that next year at the AICPA Tech Plus conference. And I'm on the planning committee for that, and I've listened to Dave do this presentation, went to him and said, you got to do this at Tech, because normally we think of e-money and you go, oh yeah, ACH.
Mm-hmm.
Well, trust me, you know, there is way, way, way more to this than ACH.
Yeah, it really is something that the QuickBooks consultant should open their eyes to a bit, because I think it's the world we're living in now already, but certainly into the future. This is,
yep.
If you don't understand how things are going on a little bit behind the scenes, then you won't be able to guide your clients to the right merchant account relationship or dealing with PayPal or all the different things that are going on.
Speaking of merchant mm-hmm. accounts, the QuickBooks or the Intuit guys told me they made some changes, or I mean, any change that they make, of course, they say is the best improvement that anybody mm-hmm. ever thought of. But what did they do with their they've got these merchant accounts. They made some changes there.
Yeah, just one, well, maybe slight, I think, but maybe huge for some clients, and
okay.
that is many times when we take prepayments, deposits, or simply take orders over the phone, as a merchant, we need to be able to authorize the credit card, even though it will be charged at a later date. So now in the receive payment screen in QuickBooks, you can do an auth-only capture, if you will. And that just means authorize the card for a certain dollar amount, and then that authorization remains valid, if you will, for I think up to 7 days, and I think it depends on whether it's Visa or MasterCard or whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they've added that feature of auth-only.
Okay, well, great. You know, so basically you're saying to accountants that, frankly, whether they're these, quote, improvements are valuable to an accountant or not, and I think they probably are, but whether they are or not, you pretty much have to update, and they ought to be doing that right now. You
absolutely.
Get this and load
yeah.
it up and start using it, right?
Right, because if you look out at the stores, you know, Office Max or whatever, you're only going to find QuickBooks 2007 anymore. You can't even buy the older product, which means your clients are going to buy.
You mean 2008, Doug?
I'm so sorry, yeah.
You're living in, that's so last year.
Yeah, that's so last year. Yeah, so they can only buy the 2008 version, and that means your clients can only do that. So new clients are getting that. So those of us in the services part of this world have to have all the versions so that we can support those clients who do get the new one.
The new version?
New version,
okay.
Right.
So I just want to understand one thing on you know, what the software guys refer to as BC, you know, backwards compatibility. If I'm on Accountants Edition 2007
mm-hmm.
and a client comes to me who's using you know, 2008 nonprofit edition or whatever, any one of the editions, 2008, and gives me a data file, can I read it?
Well, actually, in that specific scenario, no.
Okay.
But there's a new scenario close to this that you might want to know about, which I didn't mention in the accountant's copy discussion before, and that is if I have the 2008 version of the accountant edition and my client, so reverse it, right? My client has the 2007 of any of their editions, right? So contractor or whatever. If they send me an accountant's copy of their data, I'm in 2008. I can open it, manipulate it, and then send my changes back to them, even though they're not in 2008.
Right.
As long as they're in 2007, they can get those changes.
Sure.
Not the older versions, and, you know, I think over time what you're seeing here is this is the first year they were able to do this,
sure.
sending back to
right.
earlier versions. I think you'll probably see this more and more so that the accountant edition works with other non-year equal editions or versions into the future.
Won't that be nice?
Yeah, that'll be great.
Doug, you know, we've just burned up all of our time
uh-huh.
talking about QuickBooks 08, which is important. I mean, that's probably, you know, I mean, it's the 900-pound gorilla, and you know, we certainly have to talk about them. So next month, by the way, we're recording a Small Business to Go episode 3. We record it live on TalkShoe, and we're going to record that at let's see, what did we decide, at 1:30 p.m. on November 21st. So that's the day before Thanksgiving, 1:30 p.m. It's about the time that we'll be sitting back in that after-turkey dinner funk
mm-hmm.
24 hours later, right? So we're going to do this at 1:30 on Wednesday, 11/21, and that's on your calendar, right, Doug?
That's correct.
Super. Okay, and please add it to your calendar too, all of our listeners, and join us live on TalkShoe. We're going to talk next month about a couple of our awesome add-ons. Now we've got 13 of them to do, and we've got like probably 10 months or 9 months. I'd like to get them done by the time we, you do next year's conference and stuff, and so we at least get caught up before we have to start again.
Sure enough.
So you want to just surprise us next month on which ones you're going to talk about, Doug?
Yeah, in fact, maybe you can ask people to tell us which one they want to hear about first. I'd love to hear.
That's a great idea. Go back, listen to the podcast we did the other day. We've already given you the instructions. Go to cpata.com or to go to Doug's site, sleater.com, and you can navigate from there quite quickly to that podcast. And, of course, Doug, your article in the November issue lists the October issue.
It's actually the November issue of the CPA Technology Advisor that has it. Yes,
it has all of the awesome add-ons listed in your column.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see those, and you've got one you want us to cover right away, you notice how I say us, Doug. You do all the heavy lifting. I'm just along for the ride. If you see some of those that you'd like to talk about, send us an email. Our contact information is all out there. So send us an email, or better than that, give us a call at 1-800-456-0864, and that's our general mailbox for the Intersection Live series. And just say you're gonna dial extension 2106. So it's extension 2106, and once you're there, just say this message is for Small Business Consulting to Go, and then tell us what we're doing right, tell us what we're doing wrong, tell us what we should do that we're not doing or whatever, and give us some ideas. We'll be glad to follow up. We may even play some of those in future episodes, Doug. That might be fun.
Ooh, that'd be neat.
Yeah, we can always talk about that. So I want to end before we go too far. We've got some more housekeeping things to do. Again, want to thank our sponsors, BQE and the BillQuick product. They help us pay the bandwidth bills and stay on the air, as it were. A couple of other announcements in terms of some of our sister podcasts, the Grandpappy Tech to Go is scheduled to record Tuesday, November 20th at 11 a.m. All of these are listed on both on Intersection Live at CPA Technology Advisors website or on TalkShoe. Look at Intersection Live. They're all be listed there. So we're doing that on Tuesday, 11:20, 11 a.m. That's Eastern. And Accounting Firm Security to Go, a new podcast I'm doing with the guru of security, Dave Cieslak. And many of you know David, have heard him speak. He's written for us for quite some time, does some reviews from time to time. And when I can get him to take the time, he's a great contributor and certainly adds a lot to the profession. So we're doing a specialized podcast, again, another monthly recurring podcast dedicated specifically to the information that practicing tax and accounting professionals need in their very special problems of security. We have to have access to our clients. They have to have access to us. We've got a one-to-many, or a lot of cases of firms with multiple people, then we have many-to-many relationships, and it's a very different kind of thing. Lots of security challenges, and David is a CPA, a CITP, a GSEC. He's got all sorts of initials behind his name. He's the technology guru, and he's a fun guy to listen to. And you had him at your conference speaking on security, didn't you?
Yes, he did a fantastic session.
Right.
He kind of
makes you. He told a story about he had done a presentation at another conference, and a guy came up to him after he'd reviewed all of the vulnerabilities and problems and things, and this guy came up. He said, I'm so scared, I'm going to throw away my computer, and I'm even going to throw away my typewriter. And Doug said, or Doug, David did tell him that he thought maybe that was a little extreme and he could help him. But anyway, we'll be doing Accounting Firm Security to Go on November 21st at noon Eastern. which is just right before we do Small Business Consulting to Go. So I'll be doing a couple of podcasts, talking to a couple of people that day, and that'll be great.
Great.
So, Doug, the last thing I want to close up with here, because it's of interest to specifically to people, you know, in this small business accounting space, all three of our major suppliers here, Sage with the Peachtree product, and Microsoft, you know, with their Microsoft Office accounting versions, and Intuit have had or will have fairly significant leadership changes coming up, or have just happened or will happen. Of course, Gates is leaving Microsoft. We've had some changes at the Microsoft business side, you know, some retirements there of you know, people who you know, who are running that retiring, and other people coming in. Do you see, I don't see that filtering down much to affect our world here at Small Business Consulting. Do you, Doug?
So far, not. We still have the same people that we're working with at Microsoft, and they're doing a great job. They're deep into the finalization of their 2008 version. They seem to be going full speed ahead towards you know, getting this product developed and enhanced.
Sure.
And we really expect some pretty good things out of them in the next year or two.
Well, I mean, typical Microsoft, get a product in the market, get a stake in the ground.
Yep.
And then make it next couple of years, make it as good as the other guys. And then a couple of years after that, blow them out of the water.
Yeah, that's so what they tend to do.
Yeah. Over on the Sage side, of course, we had, it's been in all the news, we had pretty much a bloodletting here three weeks ago, and Ron Fernie and Taylor McDonald and a couple of other people summarily dismissed, and all new leadership, and it appears that that leadership will be maybe a little bit more UK-oriented than US-oriented. I don't think that's going to make a whit of difference in the Peachtree and Mass world, do you?
I certainly don't see that it could. The people who are running those two business units are still there, and the products have loyal followings, and
right,
they are just full speed ahead again.
Yep.
I guess we have to wait and see exactly what the changes. I mean, they've removed the people, but they haven't sent replacements in,
right,
so we don't really know yet. But I'm not too nervous in any way for, let's say, a user or an accountant who might be involved with those products.
Yeah, they just promoted just within the last year or so, they promoted Connie Certucci,
mm-hmm,
into running this that small business division, and she's a bang up gal and really took that over by the horns and doing a great job there. So, you know, I think we're okay there.
Yeah.
But on the Intuit side, we trade Steve Bennett for Brad Smith.
Yeah.
And if you know Brad Smith, nothing against Steve Bennett, but if you know Brad Smith, this has got to be nothing but great news for the small business guys. I mean, he used to run this division. He grew up here.
Well, right, and accountants as well. I mean, he started at Intuit, well, I think only about 5 years ago,
right,
and he started with running the accountant world there.
Right.
And so got to really know the accounting community as it relates to Intuit. And I think just pretty universally is known as being very, I don't want to use the word sympathetic, but I can't quite think of another word, but sympathetic, if you will, to the accountant community and what it is we do and how it is that their product affects our business and what they need to be doing to do that better. But also in the development community, the IDN, they call it, Intuit Developer Network, he understands add-on software and how that really adds to their whole ecosystem.
And he was a real champion of opening up the kimono and coming up with the SDK, and you look at the changes. That's only, what, 3 years ago?
The SDK, I think, was 2002, so it was right around the time.
Oh, boy, 5 years ago. Okay. Well, and then another change, I mean, below that, Sasan Ghazari, who is, you know, I thought a really class act, was running the ProTax division, which is basically ProSeries and Lacerte. They promoted him over to another business unit. He's over doing work in kind of in the banking world, or their bank products world, and they combined then the QuickBooks side and the ProTax side and gave the whole thing to Jill Ward.
Yeah.
And Jill is certainly a small practice, small firm, small business consulting champion, understands the business, I think, viscerally. She was at your conference, had a nice visit with her about this, and she assured me that her target would stay the same, although I didn't have any doubt about that because I've worked with her before. So I think those are pretty positive.
Yeah, overall, I think they're really got a good team in place, and I think, you know, QuickBooks dominates, and there's a reason why. They've got top to bottom quality over there.
Right, and you had Steve Blundell, who was there. You know, he keeps saying he's going to retire, and I think they're going to have to pry a mouse from his cold dead fingers because he doesn't do a very he did a worse job of retiring than I did.
Just can't stay out of it. He loves speaking to audiences. He came to our conference and gave a great presentation there. And Steve is the guy that's maybe the main, at least high level CPA at Intuit, and he helps the internal people understand what it really is like to be in practice. And I mean, all the way down to how do transactions get posted to the general ledger, and how did it used to be, and so how should we make software to make that the model that we all grew up with in the accounting industry, how do we make software that does that better?
Right.
So he's just an incredible asset to the company.
And if Steve were on the line, he would say, Doug, in addition to being a CPA, I'm also a CITP.
Oh, there you go.
and Steve, thank you for that. great thing. Okay, Doug, we're just a little bit over time. We try and hold this to around 45 minutes, and we got a little long, but that's okay. It was fun stuff that we're talking about. So we're going to wrap up with a final thank you to BQE. Remember our upcoming Tech to Go, Accounting Firm Security to Go, Small Business Consulting to Go, all of them recorded on November 20th and 21st. You can find the dates on talkshoe.com. And if you have any suggestions on which one of those awesome add-ons that we should point Doug to, let us know. Join us next time, and we'll cover some of those. Doug, thanks so very much for your time. You can relax and go get another cup of coffee, and I'll bet you've got more than just a few emails after being out for a week.
You bet.
Thanks very much for your time, Doug. I appreciate it. Join us again next month for Small Business Consulting to Go. This has been episode number 2. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
That wraps up this edition of Small Business Consulting to Go. Join Greg and Doug again next month for more insight and advice you can trust. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.